Welcome to the Shift Spotlight podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we have with us Bill Poole. He is president at Convergo and can be found at convergo.co. So welcome to the Shift Spotlight podcast, Bill.
Winter, thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here this morning.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to dive into some really cool things that you're doing over there. But before we do, why don't we start with an interesting fact about you that people may not know?
All right. So a couple people either know this because they were involved in it, but I was recently in a coffin race.
What is that?
A coffin race. There's this, I live here in Denver, Colorado, and the coffin race, there's a festival in Colorado. It used to be in Netherland, and it's since moved to Estes Park, called the Frozen Dead Guy Festival. And it's an interesting festival, and there actually is a frozen dead guy that is up at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park in a cryonic museum that is waiting to be, waiting for, I can't remember exactly why he was sick and was about to die, but he's waiting for this cure so that he can be unfrozen. And they've created a festival around this guy. And actually it's kind of lore, but his frozen temperature has actually gotten a little too low for it to be physically possible for him to come back to life. So
he's not gonna make it.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. I don't actually answer this question because I'm always the one asking it, but since we're talking about cold and Denver and everything, an interesting fact about me that people may not know is I got into cold plunges last year. Wow. So we have gone in as low as like 32 degrees for up to 5 minutes at a time. And then we'll do it two or three times, believe it or not. So, And it's hugely impactful. Like after we play pickleball and stuff like that. If I don't do the cold plunge, I hurt the next day. If I do the cold plunge, I don't. So I'll just throw it out. Fun fact. Huh. I never get to answer.
I've heard a lot of people rave about how good it makes you feel the rest of the day.
It's a surge.
What's that?
It's a surge right after, for sure.
I'll have to give it a try, Winter.
You have to. Okay. So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
All right. My company, Convergo, a lot of entrepreneurs struggle. They're really good at what they do. They came from an environment where they worked for a business, went out on their own, a lot of them, to create their own business, and they're good at blank, marketing, engineering, whatever it is that they're good at. They're ready to scale. But I'll tell a story about a specific client that I was working with this week. They're a mineral management company. So they work with family offices, funds, banks that have a lot of land that has minerals on it. Evidently, I've learned that there's a lot of stuff that comes around with managing those types of assets. They provide the services to manage all of those, all of that stuff so that the fund owners can focus on what they want to do. Right. So they're AI enabled, ready to scale, and have a mix of, again, it's a mix of software and services. But really just were curious about sales. They didn't think they're doing the right thing from a sales perspective, which is the case a lot of times. So what we do is help them develop a roadmap where we look at, try to get to the root cause of the challenges and then create a roadmap to help the business align the business to be more intentional about growth, to shift from like reactive growth to intentional growth, which means focusing the entire business on acquiring and serving ideal clients. And then that roadmap needs to is integrated into their business operating system. In this case, this particular company is running on EOS. They work with an implementer. And so implementing these the process we implementing the roadmap comes in one of three flavors, Winter. It's either they can do it themselves and we can play an advisory role. We can leverage our frameworks and expertise and coach them if they have the people, or we can sit in a fractional seat to help implement the roadmap. In that specific example, we are sitting in a fractional seat to implement the roadmap. So that's a relatively common story about what we do.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're speaking my love language here, which is sales, right? That's my background and been involved in it in my whole life. I was raised on a car lot where on the weekends I sat on the floor while my dad closed the whole time, right? So I have four brothers and all four of them at one point were in the car industry. So like sales is kind of in my bloodline. So
Did
why
you
don't
sell
we?
cars, Winter?
I did not. I sold homes. It was probably my dad's dying wish would have been for me to have taken over the car sales business, but that's a whole nother type of sales, right?
Yep.
So why do these companies have these sales challenges? Like, well, before we dive into that question, why don't we talk about what are the most common sales related challenges that you see in what you do?
Well, a lot of them are relatively similar to when I started my career longer ago than I would care to admit, is that they need to fill the top of the funnel. That's a common age-old problem that doesn't really is that's the number one challenge that I've heard for a long time, and it's still the number one challenge. So it's really the way to deal with that specific challenge. There's a lot of modern ways to deal with it. So that's the challenge. And while it's an age-old challenge, how we help our clients address those challenges, leveraging today's world with AI and everything, is that's is the way you deal with it is different, but it's the same common challenge. And something that hasn't changed though is that all the technology may be out there and marketing automation, there's really a people component to it. So marketing doesn't everybody in a business, especially the leadership team, is in business development, and businesses need to kind of realize that and have that instead of reactive approach to growth is to get everybody aligned and participating in that, in filling the top of the funnel, because everybody is a salesperson.
Right. Some more than others. Some have to become learned, right?
Correct.
Salespeople.
Correct.
I remember one of my early coaches is people do business with people they like. And for years, everybody's been saying AI is going to take away sales and AI is going to take away, real estate and AI is going to take away the way that sales is done. But there is what you talked about. There's the people component that, AI can't get around. When that particular client that you're working with has a very specific problem, they want a person to work this out with. They don't want an automation, program telling them what to do. And I know, like, I learned a lot from the big internet marketers out there, right? The Frank Kerns and the you put them in the funnel and you drip on them and really that's all dead, right? That doesn't work anymore. People want things. They want to feel like they matter and they want to feel, that they want to be part of the decision, not just another throw some spaghetti at a wall and have it stick, right?
Absolutely, 100%. It really really comes down to people. And I think it's going to be more, even more important as it's easy to worry about what's going to happen to me in this AI world. But I think that what we'll find over time is that the people component is going to become even more important and more of a differentiator. And we look for ways internally and to help our clients like maximize the people touch points, the real people touch points, using in person, video, and just to bring the people component to life as much as possible.
Right. So, how many employees do you have?
We have five. We're a
Five.
small boutique business, Winter.
Okay. And who's your optimal, ideal client persona?
And that's extremely important because we're picking your ideal clients is extremely important. Ours are services, entrepreneurial businesses that are services centric. So we can help someone that might be making a product, widgets and such. We can help them with the sales process to sell more. But the impact for us is greater when we look at services centric businesses, because we leverage the client journey is a you know is a is the alignment point for the we call the ideal client journey is the alignment point for entrepreneurial businesses. When you think about delivery, marketing, and sales, they're all sh should be focused on providing an amazing journey both on the front end and on the back end. You know, the sales and revenue onboarding, sales and marketing, and then delivery as well, aligning the clients around that journey. So it services centric businesses have the flexibility to really leverage that concept of the client journey to help add value and differentiate and you know improve what they do for their clients. So that's on the kind of the conceptually. Also, it's really important from a psychographic perspective that you're dealing with the right clients that appreciate outside perspective, that are willing to work and collaborate to help implement, you know, to help drive and implement change. Because if they're not willing to change and collaborate and have a, you know, participate in the journey, it's hard to be successful.
And I think this is one of those things too that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I see a lot with CEOs is, you know, the word sales and marketing, it kind of gets thrown in together, right? Sales and marketing. It's like one word almost, you know, sales and marketing. But having studied marketing and having been in sales my whole life, they're two very separate things. And what happens a good bit of time is marketing points at sales. Sales points at marketing, right? And so with what you do specifically, how can you speak to that common thought process that we see in visionaries?
Really, I mean the ideal clients and that journey that I just spoke about is really the alignment point, right? So if you think about that finger pointing, if everyone, a lot of times that finger pointing helps because the sales and marketing aren't aligned around what an ideal client is. Marketing is doing their thing, sales is doing their thing, delivery is, you know, doing their thing as well. And a business grows naturally and operates in silos, right? But focusing and what the ideal client journey is really the secret sauce in aligning the business to say, okay, we got to target the right businesses. We have to say, from a marketing perspective, we have to help the right businesses buy and make them say, you know, help them buy from a sales perspective, and then passing off to the delivery team. Make sure you're passing off the ideal clients for the delivery team to serve. So instead of the finger pointing, everybody's aligned around what a good client is. Then that creates the harmony winner.
Yeah. And so it seems like your industry is like one that pivots and morphs and moves quite quickly. How do you ensure that your company stays relevant in such a rapidly changing market?
Well, interesting. So part of my journey, I didn't really, I worked in the technology and services space, helped a dealer there grow. I was in the ground level. We were at $1 million, grew to $15 million. That was great, and I financially was doing well. But to have the fact that the learning doesn't end in college, something that I don't think I realized early in my life, and been
Right.
on a, you know, a growth mindset is one of our core values. And to have that, to be in that, to understand that you can really, I mean, sales is challenging for a lot of entrepreneurs, but it's, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, but you can learn stuff. This isn't rocket science that we're doing here. The things that you can learn on that learning journey, you can learn all kinds of new things that you can apply to your business, that you can apply to your client's business. So that having that growth mindset is extremely important. And what we do, we have to stay, in order to you know, ensure that we're valuable to our clients, we have to stay one step ahead. So that learning journey is the growth mindset has been really critical to my learning journey. And we apply that to our business. And we have a weekly learning 30-minute Friday morning meeting to share learning insights from the week to reinforce that.
Yeah, what is it that Tony Robbins says? If you're not growing, you're dying.
That's right. Yep.
So, what are the top things that are impacting your company or your industry right now? And they could be positive or negative. And it's got to be another answer besides AI, because that's the one everybody gives.
Okay, things that are affecting our industry. So, I guess the proliferation of technology, kind of going back to that people piece, is that's really important. I guess you took kind of told me not to go down that
Well, you
AI.
can, but you got to expand on it. You got to give us a different point, because I get it. AI is changing everything, right?
Yes, for sure. But the other piece to build on the people piece is you need to do, sales organizations that are not doing things right and aligned around process and ideal clients, it's really extremely inefficient. And if you track metrics to ensure, high level metrics like client acquisition cost and ensuring that, like from a macro perspective in the business, that you're as efficient as you can be. That you have an inefficient sales team that's not pointed in the right direction. You might have six reps when you can have four. So not, the failure to leverage some of that technology and that's out there to align with marketing and with AI, really, that's a kind of a hidden challenge that a lot of entrepreneurs have that aren't proactive enough about sales, is that you can do more with less if you leverage the technology and align with the rest of the business.
Hi there, this is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then, one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
Yeah, that's interesting. Why do you think sales is so confusing for visionaries?
Just because, I said earlier that everyone's a sales rep. Maybe that was wrong. Everyone can be a sales rep. A lot of folks think is operational folks as well think sales is a bad word. It's really not. You can if you're not confident in what you do and your company and the product that you're delivering, then you might feel like sales is a bad word because you don't really believe in what you're doing. But when that shift, it's really interesting, especially for the delivery and operational folks that have that shift, that realize that, when you're doing something good, and we work with clients where sales is the barrier to growth, and they're good operationally. So have that perspective, that shift in perspective that, sales is really about helping people realize value, and that mindset that can help transition everyone to be a salesperson because you're really, you're really helping people realize value. So sales is a bad word a lot of times, Winter, when the product or service may be inferior.
It's exactly what you said about the word value, right? If you don't believe in the value that you're giving, then you may not believe in sales. And I coach agents. I have a team that runs underneath me, and we have obviously scripts to help buyers get out of their own way when they are in a buying cycle. And some of these scripts are really bold and brazen. And I've gotten pushback from the salespeople saying, you know what? This just doesn't feel good. This feels, like icky. And it's like, it's not icky, because guess what? They've hired you to help you achieve their goal. And it's up to you to do that. No good things happen without sales. The first job ever to have existed was sales. It was prostitution, actually. But I'm serious. That's a true fact. A
For
true
sure.
fact. But no good thing, and I'm not saying prostitution is good, I'm just saying, but no good thing happens without sales. And if you believe in the value that you're giving this client, this customer, this whatever, it's your job to sell them. It's your job to help them achieve your goals. Now, if you don't believe your product can help them achieve their goals, well, then you're in the wrong product. You don't need to be selling it, whatever the case is. But you're right. I think there's this huge misconception about how sales is viewed, and it's a force for good. It is not a, it's not a negative thing. It is a force for good if what you have solves their problem.
Absolutely. I think there's at a very high level, Winter, there's two keys to sales. It's really to have that confidence, to be selling something that you have confidence in, that you believe in. And then the other piece is genuine curiosity, right?
Yes.
Genuine curiosity. And the before picture, a lot of times when we work with companies, they can't wait to, they talk to a potential opportunity. They can't wait to get them to do a demo, right? And tell them about how great their stuff is. And, you know, put the brakes on. We have a very simple structured system that allows for flexibility that helps them, you know, make sure that they understand what clients want from their own business, what clients want with the potential engagement that they might be serving, and what they might, and then what they need, which is really what the organization, the services organization, is selling to help their clients achieve those goals. So that curiosity, that curiosity is so important. And when something you mentioned there, a lot of times you talk with folks that are not comfortable with sales scripts. Well, sales scripts come into play when folks are not genuinely curious, right? There's that we're all about structure here, but structure, you know, the 20-80, the 80-20 rule about, you know, process is the 20% of the process drives 80% of the value. Having a high level structure allows for that flexibility, curiosity, and creativity to flourish.
And that word curiosity is the word next to the word value, right? And that's actually, it is the very first question that I teach agents to ask. I'm curious, why are you looking to buy a home right now? And they'll say whatever they're going to say, but then you repeat it because you're trying to get to their why, which is what you're in essence trying to do as well. Why do I need to help you with this problem? But then the second question is, okay, well, I'm curious, why now versus say last month? Because typically their first why is not always the why. It's the entry why, but the second why. And so you're curious once, but when you deep dive and you're curious twice, that's when you really find out what the problem is. And that's when you can find out if you can help them with the problem. And you said you were very picky about what companies that you bring onto your business and all of that. I'm sure you have to get down to their why to decide if you're a right fit or not.
100%. And, you know, thinking about when you peel back that why, okay, we want a growth goal. We look at our 3-year goals and, you know, we're going to triple the business. And when you peel it back and, you know, when we're figuring out whether they might be a good client to work with, you know, what is their why? And a lot of people don't have a why and they're not easy. You know, if there's not a why, it's like, those are growth goals that are just,
I need more business. I just need more business, you know, and that's not a why, you know,
exactly.
but if it's, I have a mission to get 50 men healthy by the end of the year, that's a why or whatever the business wants. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also like personal why also, I mean, that's a very good vision that that you just painted. You know, and personally, what does that why mean to them personally? If they don't grow, then what happens? Well, not much. You know, I just can't, you know, it's if there's no person, you have to kind of tap into the personal why as well as the business why. That so the why is extremely important.
Yep. Okay. So you've obviously had a long career, longer than you want to admit on the podcast anyways, but what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs or leaders who are just starting their journey?
So a couple, we talked about the growth mindset. Another important lesson I've learned along the way is when I started in my career, I guess mentor is not the right word, but it's that I learned that I had to unlearn was that you're with me or against me. And that's not a good mindset. As I've matured as a professional, the abundance collaborative mindset is really, really, really so important, especially if you think about Winter in the sales and marketing space. There are so many disciplines, especially on the marketing side. You cannot know everything. So
yeah.
I regularly talk with, with other, businesses, whether other sales consultants that maybe have a different focus, that are better at different things, especially on the marketing side. There's tactical marketing folks, strategic messaging. There's so many different disciplines that having that abundance mindset and being able to pull in other trusted resources into your engagements is so important. So the abundance mindset is something that that's a piece of advice that I wish I would have had when I was 23.
Yeah, and I think that marketing is one of those things where people feel like, well, I need to do Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, but you know, and they're not enjoying it. And they're creating content and they're putting things out there, but they not really tracking and measuring if it works. And like, I'm a huge fan of marketing needs to be fun, right? And that's how I've always done marketing. I drive Ken crazy because I like to do some bold things and I like to like kind of shock and awe a little bit. And he's way more like business oriented. You know, not as crazy because his background where marketing is a creative thing. But, you know, I also am a huge fan of just pick one or two mediums that you enjoy, that you have fun doing, you know, and if you like doing reels or whatever, then, you know, do your reels and have fun. And if that's not where your joy is coming from, if you enjoy writing a blog, like you don't have to do every single one of these mediums to be successful. To be perfectly honest, if you try to do them all, you're probably going to do them all sort of, you know, halfway. So it's okay to pick one or two mediums and just double down on them. They may not work off the bat, but you keep going and eventually it will work.
Yeah. And you hear about every, you know, time and time again, talk to entrepreneurs. Yeah, we're doing marketing. My friend does Facebook ads, right? Yeah. Well, let's go back to your ideal client. Does your ideal client who is a, you know, is in the whatever, let's HVAC, right? Actually, that could be a good one for Facebook. But regardless, you can't, LinkedIn would not be a place to advertise for someone that's in the HVAC business, right?
I'll tell you, real estate in general, we're not on LinkedIn, right? Like HVAC, realtors, attorneys, like we're just not there. That's just not where we are. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook.
Absolutely. So that's really should guide the thinking as to how you're, you know, the mix of sales and marketing strategies to connect with ideal clients, because, you know, with the type of businesses that we work with, they're high trust, high value clients that, I mean, marketing is not going to be the end all be all. That people component and the sales component is part of that. And that alignment is so important and, you know, so important. And you know, marketing, marketing and sales need to be equally, equally aligned and around that. What's that right strategy to connect with the ideal clients?
That's right. That's right. All right. Just a few more questions here and then we'll wrap up. What's next for you and your company? Like, do you have any new directions, projects on the horizon?
Sure. So our vision is to help 500 entrepreneurs meet their revenue goals by 2035. In the near term, we're going to...
There's your why. I'm going to interject real quick. There's your why.
Exactly.
Right? You got a strong why to show up every day.
Yep, for sure. Because sales shouldn't get in the way of growth. So in the near term, we're going to be offering some workshops for services-minded entrepreneurs and sales leaders to develop business development plans that are specific to their business and help them. We have a great framework to help them align sales and marketing. Those workshops are great, which that's, you know, typically if you have a workshop and don't do anything about it, nothing ever happens. It sounds like you're on board with the coaching idea winner. So following up on that, once those business development plans are created, then helping them execute from a coaching perspective to make sure that, you know, they're leveraging change management practices and keeping that great plan. You know, the great vision is just, if you don't have a plan behind the vision, it's just a dream, right? So helping them carry out the plans to achieve the vision and goals are a key component of that. So we'll be starting with the workshop and supporting that with coaching.
Awesome. I love it. What is a book or resource that you would recommend to another CEO? Besides the Shift Spotlight podcast.
Okay. Besides the Shift Spotlight podcast, because I was going to say that. I'm a member of Strategic Coach, and I mentioned how important people was, that Who Not How is a great book, but The Gap and the Gain, I think, is one that I fall back on a lot. It's easy sometimes to get caught up in the gap, the big ideas that, you're focused on, and I see you're looking at your bookshelf. Do you have
I
that up
am.
there?
I was thinking of the Simon Sinek. I think start with why, right? Since we've mentioned why so much on here.
So the gap in the gain, it's by nature, we can get caught up in the gap and the horizon that's continued. The horizon doesn't, doesn't get any closer, right? When you make so much progress and you look ahead at the horizon, the horizon is still as far away as it was. The big idea with the gap in the gain is you got to look back on where you were and get caught up in the gain. Get focused on the gain instead of getting caught up in the gap. Love the book. And there's some great tools in it. I go to Dan Sullivan, it's a Dan Sullivan book, and he does strategic coach, and I do strategic coach as well.
Okay. And last question, if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Well, if they have sales challenges, we are always happy to help. It just starts with the discussion. Like to just understand the story of their business, where they're going, what their biggest barriers are, from what they perceive as their biggest barriers are. And we'll do what we can to help. We have a help first mentality, have a lot of content and tools that we provide. So if we'll do what we can to help, if that means referring in someone else, that's great. But it all starts with a discussion. And we love those discussions. We're people.
And that can be found at convergo.co, right?
That's right, winner.
Awesome. Well, I have immensely enjoyed talking about my favorite pastime today, and we appreciate your time being on the Shift Spotlight.
Thank you, winner. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.